Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
Maybe it's time for a new jingle.
Never. Jingles are the best.
Jingles are pretty fun.
They just get stuck in your head forever.
I just kind of feel hyper now.
Yeah, because I gave you tea.
And I had to record Luan for the instructors so they can learn it. And I did it on Friday, but I messed it up. And I'm like, oh, fine. I'll just do it again on Monday. Taught like a perfect class. I'm in here by myself. So I'm, you know, setting up the camera. Got done. I was like, oh, that was amazing. Go over to the camera. And it wasn't recording. So I had to
Didn't have the camera on.
I just taught Uluwan twice in a row. And it made me really tired and really hungry.
At the same time.
So then I just ate a burrito and am drinking tea.
And you feel good.
Well, I feel great.
Yeah, because you know you got your blood sugar kind of back.
Regulated.
But you got a little jazz.
I'm going to be sore tomorrow. You guys, it's a good one. I like it.
It looked good. I saw the piece that you showed me with the hands over there. You're going to lock them together like this. Uh-huh. Then what do you do?
Then we open the arms and then we sway and we look back into the past and we know how this one ends and we don't like it. And we look back down. We're sad. Oh, yeah, it's good.
Oh.
Wow.
Whoa.
Makes me feel some stuff.
That's good. That's what you need, especially now.
I'm looking over at her notes. You guys, Bernice has frozen veggies.
Always have in freezer.
Broccoli.
And then I have, you have to constantly market and explain what you are doing.
Faith, how to love me. December 4th, December 18th. It's supposed to be hard. Taco season.
Welcome to my world.
Oh my God, I don't know how your brain operates. That would not work for me. I was trying to think about what my brain looks like design. Like if I had to pick a design style for my brain, it would be like a Japanese, like a very simple style home.
Uh huh. Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about Rob's and he would be literally on Hoarders.
Oh, Hoarders.
You know, like how his brain is. And you have a little bit of the ability like him. You can have a million things on a page, but it's not stressful or complicated for you. I have to have mine on like all different notes. And then I have to like
separate it and organize.
Uh-huh.
That's how this morning I'm talking to my husband. You know, I'm like, and so blah, 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 talking about politics. And he's just looking over at me like with his like big eyes and his mouth closed and just keeps nodding. And
then finally
I'm like, can you talk? Are you mute? Can you talk?
Oh my God.
And then he was like, I'm trying to listen to John Tester's interview. It's one of our senators on the radio. And you're just talking over it the entire time. And I'm like, oh, sorry. You can't do two things at once.
It's true.
He can't. Like
That's
I was
how
like,
I, am.
I can listen and talk, but he's like, I can't. And so then I was making jokes to him. He was just like, I'm like, you're like an old guy all like, hold on. I gotta hear this part that John's saying right now. It's like, okay, come on.
Well, we're not as highly intelligent as you are, okay?
Or ADHD.
Give us a break.
Come on, track it. I'm saying something important.
I can't.
How many cases? I don't know. I can't hear it. You're talking over it.
Oh my God, stop.
Whatever.
Okay, enough.
God.
So today we're talking about the fourth pillar, which is Purpose. What is our purpose? And what is the point of even having a purpose sometimes?
Purpose? Oh my God. This just makes me think I'm going to digress again. But my husband used to tell these stories to the kids when they were little.
Yeah.
And one of them was a porpoise with a purpose.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a made up story. But every time I hear purpose now, I'm like, is it the porpoise with a purpose?
Purpose?
I wonder what his porpoise with a purpose was.
Well,
like what a great idea.
Right.
That Your is a porpoise great idea. Has a purpose.
Your porpoise has a purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is why we're talking. Oh my God, stop, Kaylee. This is why these pillars. See, I've got caffeine running through my system now. This is why these pillars are so important because literally I feel like these are the things that keep me up at night. Not keep me up, you know, that's a phrase. But these are the things I think about all the time.
You ponder.
Constantly.
Yeah, right.
Like spirituality, purpose, marriage, you know, relationships, all this stuff. So this is a big one. I think about this a lot.
And so
I'm on this big kick right now about what is the greater contribution to the world? Like because I feel like I'm constantly like, I'm constantly like giving and taking in areas of my life. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I do think that a big part of my purpose has to do with the work that I do with Ula. I'm mm-hmm. sure it will shift and change as I age. But I think, you know, the work that we do with Ula is definitely part of my purpose. But then I wonder, is it making me not as good of a mom or a wife or a friend? Am I letting other things slip in order to fulfill my purpose? Mm-hmm. And then it makes me think, well, like, who's actually more, oh my God, stop burping all of the time.
I apologize.
It's disgusting.
I'm sorry. I don't want air trapped down in there.
Well, why are you swallowing so much air?
I eat too fast.
I just ate my whole burrito and you ate half of yours.
And then maybe I drink a lot of air.
Okay. Anyways. But then, so
that's
like,
my purpose. I'm an air drinker.
Stop it. Or is it more important to just be like so totally present for your loved ones, so totally That's present and attentive and like caring towards your immediate community? I mean, I think obviously most of my biggest life's questions, the answer is balance. So I'm sure all of you listening are going to be like, you don't have to pick one or the other. It's fine. You can be both, which I get, but like, I keep coming back to this. Like, what if I like, if all of Ula went away, would I still feel like I'm a good person? I'm contributing, you know, like.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Am I sacrificing some things in order for me to do this job? Mm-hmm. And is that actually where, like, what's the net benefit?
Well, that's a good question. That's that question of like, you know, am I hurting things to have my purpose,
right?
I guess? Or is my purpose so dominant that I'm forgetting all the other things that are important?
Yeah, because I don't think that I'm like not a nice person by any means, but you also hear stories of people like Tony Robbins, who has made huge impact in so many people's lives, but then you hear about his personal life and he has a lot of interpersonal problems and challenges with his family.
Yeah.
So then for me, I'm like, well, how can you be so impactful and make such a big change for people's lives if you're actually not, if you don't have a good relationship with your family? And so what's the point of having
maybe that wasn't
purpose?
His purpose though. His purpose is in his family.
So is that just an excuse for people to be like, well, you know what?
My career
is my purpose. So I don't care if I'm an asshole to my neighbors and I don't care, you know, I don't know. It's like,
yeah. And then the purpose is a philosophical question. Like, is your purpose like to change the world or
create some big invention that will then help cure cancer,
right,
or something?
Some,
you know,
people might say that's my purpose.
But then is it okay?
So then they're like, well, that's my purpose. So yeah, go ahead with your
question. So then could it be like, well, you know what? That's okay that he's like such an asshole at the checkout at the grocery store every single time he goes shopping because he cured cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that's the human's question, their personal question.
Right.
Like at the end of their life, was your purpose?
Right.
Did it, what would be the question? Like, did it satisfy you?
Yeah. Or like sometimes I think so much about like, what is the purpose of life? What is the meaning? What is my meaning? That I'm like, well, is it like that important to actually spend that much time thinking about it? Or should I just focus on like being present, right, and being a good person and enjoying my life?
I do that a lot.
Sometimes I feel like I spend too much time being like, what is the purpose of me? What is the purpose of existence on this planet? What is the purpose of spirituality? You know, and I'm like, stop thinking about it and just live your damn life.
I think that like when I was younger, like in my 20s and 30s and 40s, maybe started at about my 40s, but I had this thing of like, my purpose is to heal the world. Like, uh-huh. I had this thing, or it was kind of ego driven, like, or I'll be an Olympic rider. You know,
ooh,
like,
yeah.
I really wanted to be an Olympic dressage rider, or that kind of faded away. So then I'm like, oh, I'll go to graduate school and I'll become this incredible healer.
Right.
And then in my mid-40s, I got cancer, you know, and the whole thing was like, I just wish I could stay alive for one more day.
yeah.
And everything shifted. It was like that weird shift. And then, but I thought I'd have a more profound effect from the cancer too. Like, okay, so, you know, you survive chemo, you survive radiation, you survive all those things. And then I thought I would come out like, you know,
sort of
with clarity,
something.
More clarity maybe. Yeah. Like, but it's still like, I still struggle with like, I hope I'm alive tomorrow.
Right.
Or it's all that stuff. Like, am I wasting my time?
Right.
Should I spend more time, like what you're saying, with these people? Or should I spend my time trying to, you know, heal the world, like doing something like that?
Right.
But I didn't really get clarity there.
Right.
It just made me more afraid.
Like, well, that's great.
More afraid of, like, you know, when I have big thoughts.
No wonder you're so neurotic.
Inside my brain, I'm like, you have that big thought, but you could be dead tomorrow. And then I'm like, I could be dead tomorrow.
Oh my God.
Then it just throws you back in this weird loop. I don't know if anyone else has had those thoughts, but it's a weird. So then I'm like, is that stopping me from pursuing my purpose?
How do you even know what your purpose is? Like, it seems so weird to me.
I have no idea what.
Yeah. I don't know what my purpose is. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it just happens. Oh, remember you said that interview on Soul Sessions? Mm-hmm. Sunday Soul.
Super Soul Sunday.
Super Soul Sunday Sessions with Oprah. That the guy said when he was like, how do you find your purpose? And he said, it's like, it's something that you would be doing anyway. Like, even if it weren't your job, it's like, what do you spend your time doing anyway? And then that's how you find your purpose. You know, it's like, well, I would be doing this anyway. Even if I weren't getting paid for it, I would be doing it.
Yeah, that's a good
But then
point.
I'm like, well, I would be watching Netflix and online shopping. So I don't know if that's necessarily my purpose.
I only do that for a little while, though, and then I get depressed.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're like, why am I doing that? That seems boring now.
It is boring. Although I do like the new Christmas specials coming out.
Well, and then The Crown. The
Christmas with a View last night.
Christmas with a View.
Pretty romantic.
I mean, yeah, maybe it's like, what would you be doing? Maybe we're not as enlightened as him either. Like, he was like, and then I would be giving back because I got all this stuff from my education as a child. It lifted him out of poverty and into knowledge and, you know, helping others. But I'm like, what would I be doing? I'd be at the lake drunk. And I'd be super sunburned or like, wow, she's so leathery. Remember, Bernice used to have kind of nice skin. She's so leathery now. Well, she's at the lake most of the time.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
But then if I think about it, I think I would get bored there, too.
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like so often I'm like, oh, my purpose has to do with like spirituality and like, you know, all this. Like,
all this healing or.
Yeah. And more like exploring, like, what is the purpose? Not only just my purpose, but like, what is the purpose of human existence?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I spent a lot of time thinking about that. And like, what does that even mean? But then will you read the thing that I sent you that you really liked?
I love that.
Because then I think that this transitions us into my other really big question about, is it enough just to be kind?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I sent this to B and she loved it.
I loved it because it really spoke to me because, you know, we're always in this battle or not battle, but with people about, you know, some people are like, I'm so spiritual and so healed. And I'm like, but are you? Like, what are you doing? But anyway.
You've read all the books. You've done all the vision quests.
Yeah.
Like, so what is the purpose?
Well, so what are you doing with all that information too? You
right.
know? So I'll just read the first paragraph. It kind of hits home. I don't care. This is I'm starting to read now. I don't care. Am I going?
Air quotes begin now.
Here we go. I don't care how spiritual you are, how long you can melt in the sweat lodge, how many peyote or ayahuasca journeys that have blown your mind, how many master plant deities you've done or diets. How many master plant diets you've done?
Dietas.
What's dietas?
It's like plant medicine.
Jesus. Oh, sorry. Now dietas. I'm like from their spirituality.
Okay. Podcast. She's obviously not into spirituality. Anyway, let's just say that.
How many master plant dietas you've done or how well you can hold crow pose. I don't care what planets fall and what houses on your birth chart or how silent your meditation is. I don't care how many crystals you have or how long you've gone without sugar, salt, spices, or sex. Or how vegan your diet is. I want to know how human you are. Can you sit at the feet of the dying despite the discomfort? Can you be with your grief or mine without trying to advise, fix, or maintain it? I want to know that you can show up at the table no matter how shiny, chakra aligned, or complete you are or not. Can you hold loving space for your beloveds in the depths of your own healing without trying to be big?
Keep going.
It doesn't flatter me how many online healing trainings you have, that you live in the desert forest or in a log cabin, or that you've mastered the art of tantra.
Ooh, but that would be fun. What turns me on?
What turns me on is busy hands planting roots, that despite how tired you are, you make that phone call, you board that plane, you love your children, you feed your family. I have no interest in how well you can ascend to
5D.
5D astral travel or have out-of-body sex. I want to see how beautifully you integrate who ordinary reality with your unique magic. How you find beauty and gratitude in what's surrounding you, and how present you can be in your relationships. How do you hold the ones you love in the midst of conflict? How do you take responsibility for your part? How do you make amends?
That's good stuff.
That stuff. She sent it to me because I was feeling, you know, out of place in my spiritual healing and my chakra alignment. Because oftentimes I get bad astral readings or whatever. They're not bad, but they're not like, you know, you an amazing human enlightened and touched by the sun and you will change the world. Mine are like, you're kind of critical and mean. And it's like, okay, well, thank you for that, universe. But so she sent it to me and it was just like, that's it. For me, that's kind of it. Like, people can be like, I do all this and I do that. Yeah, but are you sitting at the, are you being with people?
Right. Are you being with people? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing to think about, but I just also find that stuff so interesting, you know?
And so, can you do both?
Yeah,
though?
Of course. Yeah, I think you need, because I think that. The purpose of all that stuff is so that you, I think some people go down those roads because they want to be all those things. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to sit in their grief. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to, you know, love their family members who may be so drastically different than them. They want to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's like fascinating to explore the mystery, you know, and anytime I've had like a really interesting experiences with like spiritual teachers or different ceremonies or whatever, and you actually like there's confirmation of like the mystery not just being random, you know, like when I can hear things or when someone can, you know, put their hands on my body and recognize that there's, you know, something that happened when I was 6 years old and it's being stored here and they can just totally pinpoint what happened, then it helps me trust that spirit exists. It helps me realize that it's not all just for nothing. Like in a way, it's what gives meaning to my life.
And so that's the purpose of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Of having a purpose is having meaning.
Is having meaning.
Having meaning to your life. Is my mm-hmm. life meaningful?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I do think is another interesting thing that I explore is I don't think it's enough just to be a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we talk about that a lot, especially with anti-racism right now, is it's not enough to just be like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, rule number one, treat others as how you wish to be treated. And then, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to be super nice to my neighbor who may have different beliefs or affiliations than I do, but then I'm going to vote for a candidate who wants to strip their rights.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's where I struggle, where it's like, yeah, but is just being nice to all of our neighbors enough if we're not like digging into the stuff and trying to actually make change for people that aren't just, you know, in our circle?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose.
I just think of the, I keep thinking of the nurses right now because I have a few friends who are working in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are they clear? I think they're clear with their purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's like, you're going to be doing stuff. Like they're helping a lot of people die right now. I just heard an interview of one of the nurses and she said, it's so frustrating because she's with so many people that are taking their last breaths and they're alone because mm-hmm. they can't have people in there. And a lot of them are angry and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to die of this disease?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much frustration. And I just thought, like, how is she holding all that?
Right.
Like, how are you care workers mm-hmm. holding all this information, this tremendous amount of grief? And just, you know, I just, for me, just letting so many people, they're just dying. Like, just knowing, like, this is the end of their lives. Like, this moment, the next moment is the last breath they're going to take. And you're the face they're going to see, mm-hmm. not the face of their mom or their dad or their husband or wife or children. It's you. You're the face. And I'm like, wow, you must have a clear purpose, you know, mm-hmm. that you have made this commitment, you know, to I will be a servant basically to you in this journey.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's powerful.
Wow. That's like, that for me, that's the type of purpose I want where it's like, well, of course it's very dramatic, but
it's like, super, I was just going to say
that doesn't happen very often in life. So then I think like, well, then my purpose is meaningless.
Yeah. I totally hear you because I was watching another Christmas holiday romance. And the woman, she is a doctor in the children's ward of the hospital. And so dealing with, you know, kids going through chemo. And I was just thinking about, you know, like, oh my God, like how horrible if your child is sick, you know, and watching your child suffer and having to be there. Part of it for me is like, I don't want my purpose just to activate when things are really dramatic because mm-hmm. I had that same thought. I'm like, oh my God, like it seems like it's like so
meaningful.
Yeah. There's like, oh my God. And you realize the preciousness of your child and your relationship with them and like how special and fragile life is. And then it feels like you can almost like appreciate it. And it almost makes me feel like I could be a better person mm-hmm. if I were like in like living in the fragility of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like when things are just like, you know, normal day to day, then I'm like, well,
what is my,
I don't know. It's hard for me to activate it.
Then for me, I'm like, then my purpose, like, I think my purpose is Ula, that I love helping other people. And I feel like Ula really helps other
it's
people.
It's a good way to, yeah.
And I really feel like when I feel like I'm helping other people, I feel like I'm doing something good.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like whatever that is, it feels good.
Right.
And, but it doesn't always feel like, especially now, cause we don't have live classes as much.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel as meaningful to
right.
me because I'm not jazzed up on
the
presence of other humans, you know, watching their journeys, watching their journeys.
Yeah.
So, but then it's like, well, why does that make like what we're talking about? Why is that less meaningful?
I don't know. And I was teaching class today, we use Sia's song, Courage to Change. And like all my words were like, you know, the word courage, the root of that is couleur, which in French means heart. Like you've got to be brave with your heart, with your life, you know, have that courage. And then I was like, is it totally meaningless though, if I can say these things, but yet in my own personal life, I maybe like have one little hiccup and be like, I can't do it. You know, it's like,
right.
So do my words mean nothing because it's hard for me? Like why even say those things if I am not living it?
Right.
You know, and then so it taps into like, well, who the hell am I to be saying this? I don't think that I'm necessarily living this.
Yes. Right.
I don't think I have this mastered. So how can I? How, I don't know. But then it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe that's just the human journey. It's like we have to continue to remind ourselves and hopefully help each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, help each other remember that we can do hard things, that we aren't alone, that, you know, difficult times require great courage. You know, it's like, do we have to have everything mastered before we can speak about it?
Mm-hmm. No, probably. I mean, then nobody would speak like some of our greatest leaders sometimes are the ones in the most struggle.
Right.
You know, it's like, what did they say? You find out later, like they were just in the midst of a horrendous personal struggle.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. Sometimes when I say those things, I feel it's like I'm so connected to self and others.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this circular symmetry of it's like, when I say have courage and I'm saying it to you, but I'm saying it to me too.
For sure.
And then yes, you have courage too, B. And you too, Kaylee. Like we're sending I think that makes good leaders in a way that if you're not just speaking to the others, you're speaking to yourself too.
Well, that's such a good point because I guess for me, and this brings me to another point that I really wanted to bring up is about my beloved Nako Bear.
Oh, good. This
sometimes I think that also when I'm teaching, it's really not me talking. It's just, it's probably spirit. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use that term because that's what I believe it is. I do believe it's spirit. Just I'm being channeled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just I'm a channel for a different voice.
Mm-hmm.
That then if I'm tuned in enough to what spirit is saying, then I can just speak it, whether it's my words, my experience, my truth. It's just this is what's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm learning to verbalize it.
Yeah.
And so that brings me to my point of, or my talking about Nako Bear. For those of you who know Nako and Medicine for the People, like, oh my God, I have been in love with him, followed his music, found so much healing, inspiration, hope, insight, in so many ways. And his music is just spiritual and beautiful. And this summer, it came out that he had essentially molested, or I don't know, sexually harassed, or had
younger
people. Yeah, young women. Young women and, you know, adult age women, but that he's kind of a womanizer.
Kind of like a sexual predator, maybe.
Yeah. And
he's powerful. So then you're, you know, of course you want to be careful about how you use your power.
He's powerful. And so he got into a lot of trouble and he lost a lot of trust from his community who we have, I mean, myself included, have really, trusted him,
mm-hmm.
and have taken his words and, like, you know, made them personal manifestos in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually talking to my sister about it and she was just saying, cause she really loves him too. She's like, he's still a human,
mm-hmm.
but he is also able to channel a really important message.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we, like, everybody is just a human. Some humans are really, good at channeling a higher message.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that everything he's ever sang about, all of his lyrics are now null and void because it turns out that he's, you know, been a naughty guy.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that it disregards everything that he's done or the healing that may have taken place through his words and his songs. And so it brings up a bigger question. So let's take Nako, for example. What, if you think about all of the people who have been positively, like truly positively impacted by his music, then if you think about he's actually really, really hurt a lot of people too, and maybe what he sings about isn't necessarily how he lives his life.
Yeah.
What is, so his purpose, like his job, his career, his living has made a big, huge positive impact on the world. Yet is that, so then you think about his personal actions and what cancels what out, what, you know,
yeah.
It's like,
he's like a troubadour. You know, in the old days, they'd have the guy come mm-hmm. to court and he'd be like, I'll sing some songs or tell some poetry.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet they never confused the poetry with the person.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think in our day and age, we tend to confuse the poetry with the person sometimes.
Oh,
like,
uh-huh.
Oh, beautiful poetry. He must be, you know, somehow blah, 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 whatever. And you're like, oh, but maybe he's just a human who makes beautiful poetry.
Right. And
you,
like,
know?
So, I mean, we've listened to his song Aloha Keakua so many times. Like, I'm just going to read some of the lyrics. He says, lend your ears, lend your hands, lend your movement, anything you can. Come to teach, come to be taught. Come in the likeness, in the image of God, because you can be like that with all that humbleness and all that respect. All of the power invested in me, be it hard to love my enemies, all of the black bags over the heads and the dead of the dead and dying. The more I understand about the human race, the less I comprehend about our purpose and place. And maybe if there was a clearer line, the curiosity would satisfy. Then he says, time-based prophecies that kept me from living. In the moment, I am struggling to trust the divinity of all the guides and what the hell they have planned for us. I cry for the creatures who get left behind, but everything will change in a blink of an eye. And if you wish to survive, you will find the guide inside. Blah, blah, blah. So much more. Like, I just, like, his lyrics, like, seriously speak to me.
Yeah, they're, I mean, he's
like, he's like,
so,
what is the
such a
purpose?
Poet.
The more I understand about the human race, the less I understand about our purpose and place. Like, That is so...
His story, though, is so poignant because for me, it's like, ah, so your purpose maybe is to tell these stories, right? But somehow in the telling of the story, you gained a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And then power, you were misled
right.
by power. So then it's also like for me, sometimes it's like, you know, maybe you do have a gift.
Yes.
And I think Barack Obama talks about this sometimes too. He's like, you might have a gift, but you must always be aware of your ego.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so for me, I'm thankful for his story, not for the women, of course, that happened to. But the story of understanding like, oh, wait, hold on. So if you have a gift, be aware of how ego steps in
mm-hmm.
and can distort it.
Right.
You know, and it's like he has a purpose. He's probably telling himself too mm-hmm. as he's doing it. Mm-hmm. I got a purpose
mm-hmm.
and my purpose is good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really argue with that. You're like, you got a good purpose. You're beautiful. Like you write beautiful poetry.
You make people feel
amazing.
You've healed a lot
but
of people.
But somehow it got his purpose got all like twisted up in there and then ego and power got twisted into that. And then it's like, you know, becomes this amalgamation of like, uh-oh.
Totally.
You're a bit of a maelstrom.
And that's what he said. He's like, I don't want to quote him exactly because I can't remember exactly, but the way I interpreted it was he said that. He's like, I took advantage of the power that I had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which it's humanness too, you know, like he, you know, now he's like, I'm going into counseling, I'm doing all this, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's just all so very interesting. I think you're right on about where the ego piece comes in, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's like.
And it's kind of like you're talking about purpose. Like, is it now be aware, is your purpose overriding?
Yes.
In other words, like, mm-hmm. are you balanced? Are you
yeah.
clear? But are you balanced with how you're pursuing it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it can consume you.
And totally can consume you.
And just be aware of why it is consuming you. It could be okay. Maybe you're Mother Teresa and you're like, I don't care. I'm going to let this whole thing consume me.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to let myself burn up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, go, baby, go.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I think it's one of those things where sometimes it's like, if sometimes I feel like I have my purpose and I'm like doing it. And then I'm like, oh, 10 other things fell behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I didn't mean for that to happen.
Yes, exactly. And I've gone through that definitely mm-hmm. at different phases with my job.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think sometimes it feels easier to do your purpose than to just do life.
Way easier. Yeah.
So sometimes I'll be like, you know what? I really don't want to walk you through this temper tantrum. It's much easier for me to be like, I'm going to go do something that gives me great purpose.
I know. I'm like,
than to do like the simple things like wiping your child's bottom
for the 100th. Thousands time.
Yeah, like being present and not getting, you know, frustrated when all of the little day-to-day things add up. And for me, I know that. Like I think I've talked about that even recently on this podcast. It's like sometimes it does feel easier for me to be like, oh, but I have a purpose, so I'm gonna go to work.
I need to. Well, even when I babysit my new grandson,
yeah.
you know, sometimes I'll be, you know, like what a gift, like a new life. Like it's all like like doing all sorts of weird things that babies do, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I forget like, oh, they're so curious too. Their little faces are like you were saying the other day, like he's constantly like reading people and then sounds.
Yeah.
And he mimics. So
just studying and mimicking.
Studying. And like part of me is like, pay attention to this. This is like his, the brain.
I mean,
brain.
You want to watch life happening it's, right now. Like
that is life.
That's the full expression
totally
of life right
in the
there.
Moment. Of course, I'll be watching him. And then inside I'm like, I really want to choreograph this song.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel it inside my bones, you know? And then I'm like, maybe I'll go turn it on and we can dance together. And
sure.
then after a while he's like, eh. And I'm like,
I just want to finish this.
This is the best part.
Yeah.
Can't you tell? But then
yeah.
it's like, be in the moment. Like how wonderful is this gift? Like you're saying.
It's really hard.
It's a hard, but then I'm like, but this is very, very important.
I think a lot of us do this with our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people can justify like not being present because of their job, aka their purpose.
Their purpose.
You know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
It almost feels in some ways like a way to tap out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like I think my dad was, you know, as he got into his 50s, he found his purpose.
Uh-huh.
And it became, and he did a really good job with it. Like he did affected a lot of people, did a lot of good stuff. But I got a lot. I didn't get a lot of my attention.
Yeah. Time with him.
But the great thing is he reached the end of his life, which I've already said 100 times, he reached the end of his life. And then you could see him switch.
Mm.
Because of course, as your body decays and stuff, you can't go about like, I'm going to go give another speech today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, I'm meeting with 100 people about blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
How to save Hawaiian culture. You know, now he's like kind of in his chair, like I can't get up. And then, but then he made this conscious shift where every day he'd be like, I love you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's weird.
Because he didn't used to say, I love you.
No, he never said it.
Right.
And then he would look at you like, you know,
aww,
like, do you feel
he was
me?
Making that.
Yeah. It was like, and I knew it wasn't comfortable for him. This wasn't his way of being in the world. His way was pursuing this greater purpose.
Yeah.
And, but how I appreciated that he made that shift for me.
Right.
Into the moment.
And it wasn't too late for you.
No, it wasn't. And that's the thing to remember as parents. It wasn't too late for me. And I was old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like in my 30s and 40s. And I'm like, whoa, dad.
Yeah. One of the things I've been thinking a lot about is how to not just separate my work life from my home life so much. Like oftentimes I don't want to bring it into my house. But then I was also thinking like, well, I just need to make sure that all of the stuff that I'm, you know, standing for and committed to in my work, that I'm bringing that into my home. Like, I think it's a little too early to teach the girls some of the stuff about, like, you know, women's empowerment and all that. But we do. We talk about it. You know,
yeah,
we talk about it like we use a lot of music in the house because I was like, man, is it weird that I haven't taught my girls how to dance? That they like, you know, I see some people like on the internet, like doing yoga with their daughters or whatever. And I'm like, I don't ever dance with my daughters. And I was like, is that weird? Am I not integrating my work into my, like, are they going to think that is so weird that our mom danced and she never danced with us at home? But I was thinking, no, because we are constantly playing music. We're constantly singing. We're constantly
like kind of dancing around.
We're kind of dancing around. But remember, what's most important to me is music.
Yeah, music. Mine is dancers. Is
yours
music.
Is dancing, and mine is the music.
So I'm like, but you're dancing around, right?
I'm like, kind of, but more just like singing. So, but yeah, you know, I realized like from the last podcast, we were talking about how, you know, Huxley didn't have, we didn't, I guess, talk enough about spirituality at home. So then, you know, when she's introduced to it, it's that's her introduction to spirituality. So I was just, I'm just thinking like, oh, it's okay to start to introduce some of these things that are important to me in the work that I do in my home life too, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's almost like they hear it. Like it's almost like you hear the person talking about it or living you're actively living your life doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, for me, it was like, my dad never was like, and spiritually I'm trying to, he did when I was older.
Yeah.
But not when I was young, but when I was older, he definitely would sit and talk about his journey. But maybe when I was young, he didn't know it as well.
Right. He may not have been.
But now I feel bad because I don't talk to Ray about it, my youngest son. My older kids have seen it.
But I think you model it really well.
They're all very
open
and grounded. Ray is very like he won't let someone tell him like one religion is better than another religion or anything like that. Like, and I never taught him that, but he's very like, no.
Yeah.
You don't know my story or her story.
Mm-hmm.
So don't assume.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. I never talked to him about that.
Right.
But I'm not. So then you're like, well, where did he learn it?
Where do you learn it? Well, I think we just probably are these things.
Yeah.
I mean, if they really are deep seated beliefs, we must just be living it.
Yeah. We must be living it.
Or they watch the way that their parents interact together. They watch the way that you talk to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
They are watching, you know, what type of shows you're watching. They're listening to what radio stuff you're listening to, you know. Like, I think they must just be absorbing it all.
They're just sponges, too.
Yeah.
You know, even when, as they get older, really they're still kind of like, you know, because I'll be downstairs and they'll be like, who's Tom? Because I'll be talking about something. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, they're listening.
But he's like, well, you said something about Tom so-and-so.
Yeah.
About, we lost his job? And I'm like, well, why are you listening? You're on the second floor.
I know, you got to be careful. Wow. Right? Yeah. I almost wonder, like, if I didn't feel like I had to, if I didn't feel like I had a purpose outside of, like, I don't know, just like my, just like being Kaylee,
mm-hmm.
if I would be a better person.
What do you mean by that? Say that again.
Like, if I didn't have, like, a, like this job.
Oh, right.
If I would actually be a better person. Like, I might be a better mom or something. Or, like, a better neighbor or a better daughter-in-law or a better, like, niece, you know? Probably. Like, maybe, yeah. It seems weird to me.
But then I've had times where I haven't had a job.
And it didn't make you a better person?
Not really. Because I still do the same thing. Like, I still was like, oh, what do I do with the kids now? You know, like, it wasn't like, like suddenly my creativity juices were ignited there. Right, I mean, sure. I think some people are, for sure, depending on the human.
I think it just depends on who you are.
It depends on who you are. Because for me, it's like I kept looking for jobs. Like, oh, work at the barn and shovel shit for horses and learn how to ride. It's like, what are you doing? And then I'm like, you know, then I'll go to graduate school and become a therapist.
Right.
And then I stumbled onto Ula, and then it was kind of like, oh, I get to have exercise. Do therapy and dance.
Right.
And affect change in people's lives. So it's kind of a perfect. Mm-hmm. But of course, I do toy with the ideas like, well, what if we didn't do it?
And then what?
What would we do? I'm like, I'd be at the lake, drunk.
Again.
Again.
And again. And again. And again.
Very burnt up. And you're like, what are you doing again, B?
Uh-huh. Nothing. Yeah, I don't know. I think that there is, like, I mean, I think the whole ego shadow side of feeling like you have a meaningful purpose can really get nasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, I mean, if we're not, like, I don't know, it's interesting. Maybe not nasty, but, like, I mean, yeah, for lots of people, like, for Nako, for example, that there was a nasty side.
He got nasty, for sure.
He got nasty.
He wasn't tracking his ego with it, you know? And that's something my
and
dad
like,
would say.
I'm
you got to track
in.
That stuff. Like, yeah. Don't assume that you always have the answers. Or because for Nako, like, I would be like, well, I have a gift, and it's freaking good.
It's so
and
good.
And I might take myself a little too seriously. Mm-hmm. Which I do anyway. But if I was Nako, I could see where I would be like, I'm really like, I'm in touch with something. And then you're not really paying attention. Like, but how are you living your life? Like right now, I'm sure he did unconsciously or subconsciously. He might have been like, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still like, but I've got this, you know, I'm like, I've got this gift.
Right.
Like, look at it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like after a show, you're so high from the energy of the crowd. You're just feeling probably like invincible.
Oh, totally. Like you're just like lifted, you
like,
know,
yeah.
off the ground.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, yeah, you know.
Totally.
And then and then someone comes up like a beautiful woman.
And then you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, hello.
Like I've got power in this situation.
Yeah. And you're all, you know, it's just, but that's the stuff we've got to track.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it's a good point.
Got to
really
track
point.
That stuff because what's leading? I remember Brock, they asked Barry, well, you know, what about running for president? Like, do you think ego was involved? And he was like, yes.
Well, of course it
definitely.
Is. How could it not be?
But I appreciate his honesty.
Yeah.
He was like, and that meant I had to keep aware of it.
Yes. That's, yeah.
You know, because people are like, you're a beautiful speaker. Amazing. You know, and he was like, yeah, I'm a good speaker. And I can delineate thoughts to people. Pretty easily, but mm-hmm. I have to be aware of is that going to my head. Like,
but you also have to have an ego to think that you even could be the president of the United States.
Yeah,
America.
That's a good point.
You have to have an ego. Your ego has to not only be involved, but be kept in check.
Yes, that's
like
a good
there
point.
Are so many people who would never think that they were actually good enough, smart enough, capable enough to be the president of the United States, myself included.
Yeah,
like I would never. Want to or think that I could. So there's an element of it's necessary. Like we can't live ego-less. That's just not possible as human beings. But we have to, yeah, we gotta keep that little bugger in check.
Keep it in check because it starts saying a bunch of weird stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
it
you
does.
Can have that.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah.
You're pretty good.
Totally.
You can do that. It's like, I'm good at that, but I don't think I should be able to do that.
Right.
You
right.
know, and yeah. Barry said Michelle was really good.
Oh, she kept
She'd
him in
be
check.
Like, oh,
Barry.
I think that was a pretty good speech.
Oh, that's so cute. I could totally
She'd
see
be
that.
Like, kids haven't seen you for 2 days.
She's so awesome. Yeah, right?
And now they just asked him, they're like, would you want to be in the cabinet?
Oh, what did he say?
He was like, Michelle would kill me.
Oh, funny.
Because she's like, we're done with, I don't want to do
that. We're done with that.
That is confusing place to be for too long, mm-hmm. I think. And it was, he was like, and that's nice for him to have that, to be able to even use that as an excuse. Like,
this is a total side note.
Yeah.
Why is Washington, D.C. like so democratically voting? What's that about? They're like 90% voted for Biden and like, no, less, like
in,
less.
What, in
the
D.C.?
Presidential, in D.C.
In the District of Columbia.
Why is the District of Columbia so left-leaning if that's where all of the politicians, regardless of the party?
Everybody else.
Well, I don't, I mean.
They're all like.
But how does that make you a Democrat?
I don't know.
See, I'm going to look this up.
That's interesting.
You have to ask Ray.
I have
or
to,
not Ray, but Hall. Ev. Ray. No, Ray wouldn't know.
Have you talked about this in your 8th grade civics class, Ray? No, Ev might know because he's gone to a bunch of trainings over there too.
Joe Biden got 92.9%
of the DC
votes. Like, this is what I don't understand. How is the seat of all?
But that's who lives in DC.
Yeah, but why? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what? Everybody who lives there, why are they Democratic?
But isn't Democrats. It predominantly African-American who live in the District of Columbia?
I don't know. I have no idea.
We don't know enough about this. We apologize.
92.9%. That, I don't know. That was just a side note that I'm like, that is shocking
that
to me.
That is shocking. I have to circle it.
You got
to
ask Ev.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Ev that.
Anyways, the purpose. And we can't get so lost in the purpose that we forget that we have to, like, be present to.
Yes.
That's something. And also, maybe I don't need to put so much importance on, am I making
a difference?
Or not even difference, but am I, like, living, am I walking my path? Maybe
yeah.
It's not even for me. And I think that's why I do so many, like, astrology and tarot readings. I just kind of want to know, like, is this my path?
Right.
Like, I'm on my path?
And my dad's like, of course you're on your path. You know when you're on your path.
But sometimes I don't know. And that's why I feel like I need to do more work to, like, actually be
that
listening
might be
to
the
my intuition.
Stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just my intuition being like, no, Kayla, you know that. Or you just got 3 signs today that were all showing you you're in alignment. You're on your path.
Well, and I think sometimes you get a sign, but you think it means you get off your path. But it really means it just needs a change.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it needs a tweak.
Yeah.
More than like a kick, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I need to
just
align
like,
my neck. It's kind of painful.
Yeah, you got to just correct a little bit.
Yeah, correct a little bit. But I think it's okay to listen to those things, but maybe not do a big change. It's more like, well, what are you trying to tell me, though, about the path?
Right. I just find that all interesting. I think for me, it's like, okay, what is my purpose? What is my path?
Well, you know? I get confused. I have this quote from Hillary Clinton. Posted it today. She said, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I don't want to do any hard.
Right.
Or if it gets too hard, to me, I'm like, it's too hard.
Maybe this isn't meant for me.
Yeah, it's too hard.
It's not all just falling into alignment.
And sometimes it is too hard and there should be a change. And sometimes it's too hard, but you should stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I get confused.
Me too. That's totally where I get confused. Because sometimes I'm like, I'm hitting closed door after closed door after closed door. Obviously, I'm not on my path.
Right.
You know? And so I guess for me, that's when I speak my spiritual tools, which are things like readings or like, you know, horoscopes, tarot, to be like, oh, I want to make sense of what I'm experiencing. I'm just trying to make sense of my life experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And sometimes when I have those things, it's different than what my intuition is.
And so then, yeah.
So then I go like, I must be wrong.
Well, those probably just aren't your tools.
And then I'm like, and then I go into like this tailspin of like, oh no, that story, that's a better story. Or, you know, I get all confused. And then I'm like, just don't look at it. Like they're just giving you examples.
Mm.
I it doesn't have to be the gospel either. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, it's just like, do you want to take that or not?
Right.
But I get all like.
But I also think sometimes your energy is closed to them, so they can't actually read you
very
well.
They can't get in very
good. Because you won't let them in.
Mm-mm.
I don't know why, but for me, I'm like, I'm an open book. Read me. Tell me what I should be doing with my
I'm
life.
I'm all careful, don't come in.
I know, and you're like, no, I don't think so.
I'm all don't come
I already don't trust you, so I'm not going to let you read me. Which I think is why you get funky readings oftentimes, because they're like, maybe this.
I don't know why you got the dead fish.
How about this?
Yeah, and I'm like, dead
fish. And you're like, you're getting nothing from me.
Then I'm like, I got the dead fish because fish die around me all the time.
I must be evil inside.
I must be toxic. They're like, no, 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 that's not it at all. I'm like, that's okay. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Anyway, yeah. It's like, so also we're talking about finding your purpose and also what are your tools so you can keep balanced and keep a clear eye on the prize, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because we're going to have tough times in our lives. And the going's going to get hard.
It's hard. It's
and
hard.
That's the question. It's like, does that mean I'm on the wrong path? Or does that mean it's okay, it's hard?
Or does it mean I should just pause for a little while?
Or take a break. Like, the virus has been a little, I don't know.
Like, let's just pause for a little bit.
It's like, time out. Like, in the games, you know, they're like, time out, time out.
I know. And then we do the opposite. We're like, we're going to rebrand. We're going to change studios. We're going to do this and that and that and that. Blah, 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 blah. And then we're like, oh, my God. Oh, I don't think I can do this.
I know.
Actually, I feel like we paused in the
I feel like we had a big pause.
We had a big pause, but then we realized our business was in crisis.
I feel like we have a better direction now, too.
Yeah. Well, we needed to find direction because it was not going to sustain itself in the pause.
We were all. And then even before, we were running, and not. We had a direction, but then we just started to run full, almost like we were in a train just going to the crash. You know what I mean? Like, come on, put more coal in that engine, right? And then all of a sudden, it was like, do you see a wall up there? You know?
That's so
funny. Is there one? And you're like, I don't know, I'm pretty tired. I can't look up. And I'm like, me neither. Just put more coal on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the pause happened. And then it was like, wait.
Right.
Were we just heading full? But we weren't really looking at where we were heading.
Right.
Anyway, appreciate
it. I mean, kind of like... I think you should give us a little more credit.
I like to tell the dramatic stories.
I know. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're still on that path. We're just doing it smarter now.
I feel like it's more controlled.
Yeah, maybe it's more controlled. Well,
and smarter. Yeah, which is
we're
more,
just going smarter at
just
it.
Just makes more sense.
But the dramatic story is much better. I'm like visualizing it, like seeing it. I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen to them? Will they survive?
Maybe not. You'll have to come back for next week's episode.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
We love you guys. You
love
people.
You
folks.
You take good care. It's going to get bad out there before it gets better.
Yeah, take care of yourselves.
Love you.
Love you.